This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kazin. Well, we are firmly in budget season. The House has all of its members back and is now working in earnest to figure out how to spend over $80 billion. It's worth noting, while $80 billion is a big number, a lot of that is federal money that goes towards federal programs like Medicaid, but I digress. This week, the House and Senate are focused fully on doing their first pass of these budget bills.
And we recently spoke with Democratic Representative Mike McFaul, and here's his thoughts on this year's budget.
I have a few things that I've been working on personally, my secure retirement savings. So I needed money in the budget for that, which I'm hoping makes it across the finish line to get that off the ground. That's a retirement savings program for small businesses that can't afford to host their own retirement savings. This would be very similar to the college savings, the 529 program, but it would be an IRA for retirement savings for, because about 41% of Michigan's workers do not have access to a retirement savings program. So, this will help save money on the back end, too, if we can keep people as they age off from public assistance and hopefully age in place, because they won't have to move because they'll have proper savings. So I would like to see us get some more things across the finish line before we go on break for campaigning. I think Michigan wants us to get stuff across the finish line before we all break to go campaign. I am expecting us to get some things done before. I don't know what that'll be. The Speaker's office sets the schedule, so I'm not exactly sure what that will be. But I think some of it probably won't happen until this fall. That will probably be the bulk of it.
Now, I know that this can often feel like a slightly monotonous time of year because the legislature becomes so hyper-focused on this one thing. But as we pointed out many times on Mishmash, the budget is incredibly important. I mean, this is how the state government is spending your tax dollars. So, Alethea, what are some of the things that stand out to you right now?
So first, Shane, I just want to say it feels even more dull to me this year with the House, especially taking a break from most policy items and diving headfirst into the budget. And we'll just see if they end up getting anything done besides this spending plan before they break and leave and campaign this summer. But back to budget. There are a few proposals that the legislature is spearheading that sticks out. So first, they're putting a lot of funding toward housing initiatives. This is an issue that lawmakers across the state are feeling. Between lack of housing and unaffordability, people are really struggling. Both chambers are also trying to get a pilot program off the ground to set up a mileage-based road funding tax. So this is a super early proposal, but the idea is you would pay road taxes based on how much you drive. The thought here is we need to replace the fuel tax we pay on gasoline because there are more electric vehicles and more just fuel efficient vehicles on the road. So this is very early step, and we all know how well the legislature has dealt with road funding in the past. So we'll see where this goes.
Super expeditiously, right? No, absolutely not. I am always looking for sticking points. What are the spots that you foresee both sides having some trouble?
So there are a couple of areas where the legislature has really veered off path from what Governor Gretchen Whitmer proposed earlier this year. So one of those is the Community College Tuition Guarantee. This is a scholarship program that would provide, you know, free tuition for community college students across the state. The House in particular has changed how this program would work and instead is looking to provide more funding for things outside of tuition. Think housing, childcare. The thought here is they want to get more community college students to go from part-time to full-time.
And that is a key proposal from the governor this year. Another is universal free preschool. The House and Senate proposals don't go so far as to provide free preschool for all four-year-olds. Lawmakers are concerned the infrastructure isn't there classroom and staff-wise to truly provide free preschool for every four-year-old.
Exactly. So there's certainly some negotiations happening between the administration and lawmakers, and that will continue through May and maybe some of June. So what do you think, Shayna? Is this going to be a bipartisan budget this year?
Well, I mean, it is an election year, so no, probably not. I mean, kidding, kind of. I mean, there may be some crossover, but I think overall, Dems are going to be looking for their own to vote yes on this. This could potentially be one of their last budgets to do this if they lose their trifecta majority. One significant sticking point for Republicans is the change to teacher retirement. A portion is fully funded, and Dems want to use that money for other things.
Yeah, and I think that's enough to get most Republicans to vote no. So, like I said, a lot of negotiating still to come, a lot of horse trading before the end of June when this budget, which doesn't take effect until October 1, is due.
Well, we're going to dig into the budget along with a new proposal that might make some Swifties happy. We'll be right back with our conversation with Representative Mike McFaul after this break. Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. We're joined now by Representative Mike McFaul of Hazel Park. Representative McFaul represents the 8th District. Welcome, Representative.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's get started with one of your more newsy pieces of legislation. You, along with Republican Representative Graham Filler, introduced a plan that you say will combat the use of automated bots in online ticket sales. Now, anyone who has tried to buy a concert ticket, especially lately, knows that these prices can get, I mean, I'll just say outrageous.
Right.
How is your bill package supposed to fix that?
So one of the causes of those outrageous pricing is the bots that swing in and buy up hordes of tickets and then resell them. They reprice them and resell them at putting them out of reach for a lot of families. That's not uncommon that that happens. Like when you go in and you're in there and all of a sudden everything's sold out within seconds. Well, it's often because of those bots. Now, it is against federal law already, but the federal government doesn't really do much. So what these bills will do is bring it down to the state level.
So since there are federal regulations, you know, how, you know, bringing it down to the state level, you know, can this solve the problem, or are we kind of at the mercy of robots here?
Well, Arizona just passed it themselves. They called it I believe they called it their Taylor Swift bill. So that's what one of the reasons we're working swiftly.
It's very clickable of them.
It will. The penalties at the federal level aren't very high to begin with. Many of them would do if they were actually penalized in some way, would just chalk it up to his cost of business. Ours offers has a $5,000 penalty for each offense, which cannot be cost of business for them. So it will have an impact, that's for sure.
One of the problems with high ticket prices is really kind of a supply and demand issue that has almost nothing to do with third-party sellers. I mean, you get acts like Beyonce, Taylor Swift, et cetera. Those venues are limited in how many tickets they can sell, and they know that they can charge an incredible amount right out the gate for those tickets because so many people want to go to those shows. Is there any way to cap what venues can charge for events, or is it just a case of, hey, that's capitalism, kid?
Well, I think, kid, that's capitalism. I don't really talk like that, but I'll use your words. Because there's not a lot we can do that. Like, I mean, I don't know if you want the government stepping in on every little thing, telling people what they can and cannot charge. Because, I mean, then you'd have businesses pulling out of the state. You'd have businesses closing down. But the bots are not helping. You know, because that means demand is high, you know, because now there won't be as many tickets available for people, even if they were already kind of pricey to begin with by the venue. This makes it even more difficult for families to get their hands on tickets.
I want to switch gears a lot here and go over to redistricting. You know, your district, the 8th. Was one of the seats that was changed this year when the redistricting commission went back after a court order to do some redrawing. What changed in your district, and will this affect how you campaign this year?
Yeah. So the redistricting, the lawsuit that was filed was targeted 7 seats. So it didn't. But actually, when they redrew them, it affected 15 different House seats. They had to hurry up and get these ones done because obviously we're all up for re-election this year. My district, House District 8, will be turning into House District 14. So when I'm campaigning this year, I'll actually be campaigning for the new district. Eliminates everything that I currently represent south of 8 Mile. So I will no longer represent any part of Detroit, and I will no longer represent Highland Park. The new district goes, so it's still Hazel Park and Madison Heights. I lose the precinct of Ferndale that I have and all of Detroit and Highland Park. And now it goes at 9 Mile, roughly, to 12 Mile, it goes into Warren and picks up Centerline. So it goes all the way from into Warren from DeQuinder to Hoover.
And your district picked up a good portion of the city of Warren in this process, as you mentioned. And now former Mayor Jim Fouts has filed to run against you in the primary. Are you concerned?
I'm not overly concerned. I have a very good track record. I'm an actual Democrat. I'm not that concerned. I mean, most of the legislation, if not all the legislation that we've worked on in this past year and gotten across the finish line has been very worker centered, very people centered. So I have a very good track record at the state. So I'm not overly concerned. Government is a lot different at the state level than it is at the local level. I come from local government, so I understand both. So I'm not overly concerned. But I take nothing for granted, and I will run and campaign the same way I did in 2022, where I knock doors and I talk to people in every neighborhood in the district.
I'm curious do you think the changes to your district were positive? Do you think keeping, more portions of the city of Detroit together was a positive move? Kind of, or are you just sort of agnostic about the whole thing? You'll run where you run.
I really love my current district. I'm not gonna, I've built a lot of relationships in Detroit and Highland Park. I feel that, as an openly gay man, I understand the importance of having a seat at the table when things are being decided for you on your behalf. So I understand the need for Black representation at the state. I totally understand that and the importance of it. While I did build a lot of relationships in the city of Detroit, I'm looking forward to running in the new district. The one thing I will say is I felt that finally the suburbs and the city were finally starting to work together. We've talked about that for decades. And now, because you had people representing both sides, we had to work together. And I thought that it was really starting to pick up and take off. We will still continue to have that. I still plan on keeping my relationships I have in the city, obviously, and doing everything I can to help other residents of Southeast Michigan as best as possible.
So speaking of helping the residents of Michigan, the legislature is in the middle of budget work right now. What are you most excited about in the budget this year? And when do you expect this very long process to wrap up?
That is an excellent question. I do not sit on appropriations. All of my committees are policy. So I'm not actively involved. Now, I do have a few things that I've been working on personally, like the retirement, my secure retirement savings. So I needed money in the budget for that, which I'm hoping makes it across the finish line to get that off the ground. That's a retirement savings program for small businesses that can't afford to host their own retirement savings. This would be very similar to the college savings, the 529 program, but it would be an IRA for retirement savings because about 41% of Michigan's workers do not have access to a retirement savings program. So this will help save money on the back end, too, if we can keep people as they age off from public assistance and hopefully age in place because they won't have to move because they'll have proper savings. So that's something I'm really hoping. The governor mentioned it in her budget. I know the House, I've been working with Angela Whitwer, Rep. Whitwer, who's the approach chair in the House. And I've been talking to the Senate side as well to try to get that funding in there to make sure that gets across the finish line.
I'm glad you brought those bills up. Those bills are really interesting, and I didn't have them on my list. So those are still in committee, I believe. Are you hoping, you know, to see those move out of the House potentially before you guys break for summer?
Oh, I would love that to happen. I'm not sure that that is going to happen, but I would love for that to happen. We had, I think 2 weeks ago, we had testimony in front of the Labor Committee. I'm hoping that they come up for a vote soon. I do know that we're very focused on getting the budget done. One of the things in Lansing is that a lot of the staffers that work on our committees that work behind the scenes also are used for the budget. And so that takes priority right now. The budget does. We're still working on other things, but we have to do what we can with the staff that we have.
I've been a little bit surprised at how quiet it's been at the legislature. I mean, the House Dems have been back to 56 members since last week, but there hasn't been quite as much like immediate action as I was expecting. What do you think the schedule is going to look like in the next month or two? I mean, are people just ready to go campaign?
Well, I think it's, you know, we have stuff that we need to work on. That's obvious. Auto no fault is top of that list. But I, like I said, the budget is taking priority. I mean, we have to have the budget by law. I think July 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I'm not on a probe, so, but we will be taking up votes on these things relatively soon. I would like to see us get some more things across the finish line before we go on break for campaigning. I think Michigan wants us to get stuff across the finish line before we all break to go campaign. I am expecting us to get some things done before. I don't know what that'll be. The Speaker's office sets the schedule, so I'm not exactly sure what that will be. But I think some of it probably won't happen until this fall. That will probably be the bulk of it.
Election years are always tricky, trying to fit everything in, and the House being tied for the first few months of the year didn't help. I'm glad you brought up auto insurance. That's actually my next question. So you sit on the House Insurance Committee, where the Senate package, dealing with auto insurance, is currently sitting. Do you want to see those bills taken up? Is there a different proposal out there you think should happen? Sort of where are you with, this auto insurance issue?
So Senator Kavanaugh's bills are sitting in the Insurance Committee right now. I would like to see them come up, even if they aren't what ends up getting passed. I still think we should discuss bills, these items when they come in front of us. I can't tell you in 2022, like every door I knocked on, someone mentioned about auto no fault. Residents south of 8 Mile, their rates haven't gone down like promised. They've, in fact, they've gone up like everybody else's. So I think there was a lot of promises made. And I think this is a very good reminder of why we don't always want our government to move so quickly on things, because there are unintended consequences sometimes when we move too quickly. And that we're seeing, the results of that with auto no fault, the previous auto no fault that was passed. I would love to see something get done soon. I mean, there's a lot of people that are kind of left in limbo. They have catastrophic claims, and we need to help those families. So I would love to see something move, at least take testimony on those bills.
A package to create a prescription drug affordability board that would review and cap prices on certain drugs is also sitting in that committee. Mm-hmm. Like auto insurance, there's some pressure to act on these bills that the Senate cleared last October. Do you support the legislation?
I do. Anything we can do to help bring drug prices down, for everyone, whether it's senior citizens or just anybody that takes a prescription medication. Now, the Drug Affordability Board doesn't review every prescription, but some of them are just outrageously priced. And so we have to do something. I would love to see that also brought up before actually we go on break. I would like to see some testimony on that. Now, I don't know. Again, I am vice chair, but I don't set the schedule. I don't call for these things to happen. But I have been in talks with Representative Brenda Carter, who is the chair, regarding these things, and also the Speaker's office. So, I mean, they are fully aware, obviously, that we are sitting on these bills. And I do expect us to move forward on that at some point soon.
Representative McFaul, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again to our guest, Representative Mike McFaul. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasbin.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this podcast and you want to support it, and we really hope you do, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. And learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.